In case y'all didn't know, that's Chris Page. He's leading our worship for us this morning. He's doing a great job. Our praise team has done a great job. Yeah. Our whole praise team has done an outstanding job today leading us in worship. Thank you for worshiping along with us. You know, there's just a lot of things on my heart that I want to share with you today, and so I'm going to kind of jump into it as fast as I can. But I've told you guys before, I like history. I like watching, you know, the History Channel or different history documentaries and things like that. And one of the things that I came across recently, and I saw mentioned in like a history documentary, and then I kind of read about it just a little bit, not a deep dive into it, but I discovered that slavery back in ancient times, like during the Roman Empire, obviously is a bad thing. Slavery is a bad thing. It's a horrible thing in our country, but it looked a little bit different back in ancient times than what it did a few hundred years ago in our country. And one of the things about it was that these slaves in ancient times could sometimes figure out a way to get their freedom. Maybe their master's just like, you know what, you've worked long enough, I'm going to let you have your freedom. That wasn't usually the case, but it could be that way. Sometimes they could save up enough money, do some things on their own to get some money and buy their freedom. Sometimes they did something exceptional and were granted their freedom as a reward for whatever it was that they did. And what happened a lot of times, not every single time, but a significant amount of times, is some of these people who had been set free from slavery in ancient times ended up, not too long after that, going back to their masters and going back to the land that they were working on, the place where they were, and putting themselves back under that burden of slavery again. And it could be for a variety of reasons. They might have been not able, or at least fearful of not being able to make money. They were worried about poverty, about homelessness, about hunger, all sorts of reasons that they might do that. And they just felt that it was safer, that they would have a roof over their heads, that they would have food, they would be more taken care of if they continued to be slaves. And so there would be thousands of these slaves over, you know, however long a period of time that were given freedom or have worked to gain their freedom and then would go back and become slaves once again. And I think that is what the Apostle Paul has in mind. That process is what Paul has in mind when he writes these words in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. And he tells the church in Galatia, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, so stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." I think this is what Paul has in mind. You've been set free. You've been given your freedom. You didn't, as we just sang about, you didn't earn it. You don't deserve it, but it's been given to you. You have been set free through Jesus Christ. So don't go back to being slaves to whatever it was you were slaves to before. Now, in this context, if you read more in that letter to the Galatian church, Paul is specifically talking to some people who had come through an upbringing and a life of strict religious adherence to a code of ethics. What I mean by that is they had a whole bunch of rules and a whole bunch of regulations, and it was required to do all the things on those checklists as perfectly as possible for your entire life. And if you didn't keep them perfectly, if you messed up, that wasn't just a mistake, that you were a bad person. And you had to figure out some way to get God's love and acceptance back and his forgiveness back because you weren't keeping the list as good as you probably could. And if you can, I mean, some of you kind of, that resonates with you a little bit. That's the home you grew up in. That's the church that you were part of in the past. And if you think about that, just having that list of rules and regulations that I have to keep perfectly, I can't make any mistakes, and yet I'm going to make mistakes. I can't keep the list perfectly. And just this whole thing, I'm trying, but I fail, but I'm trying, but I fail. It's exhausting. It's enslaving. And Paul says, you've been set free from that. Not that you don't try to do good. Not that you don't try to obey God. You do. But you do those things out of love for God and what he has done for you, not because you're trying to keep up with a list of rules and regulations. Now, Paul says, if that's the kind of background you came from, just know you've been set free. Don't go back to trying to keep up with the checklist anymore. Does that make sense? Okay. But I think that the principle of what Paul says here applies to a lot of things. Jesus Christ came to set us free. To set us free from List of rules and regulations? Yes. But to set us free from sin, to set us free from our mistakes, to set us free from consequences, to set us free from guilt, to set us free from despair, to set us free from death, to set us free from darkness. And even as we have been talking about the last couple of weeks, to set us free from our shame. That's why Jesus came. And Paul says, if Jesus Christ has set you free, and as we talked about last week, you are truly free, you are free, you are really free, if Christ has set you free, then don't go back to the thing that enslaved you in the past. Whatever that was, don't go back to it again. And I think that's a struggle for a lot of us. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning. As Devin talked about during our communion thoughts, we've been talking about shame for the last couple weeks. And just recognizing that there is a difference between guilt and shame. That we, you know, guilt is this feeling of regret and remorse. I recognize that there was something that I did, that was the wrong thing to do. And shame takes that even a step further and says, not just that I did something wrong, but that I am wrong. Not just that I did something bad, I am bad. Not just that I failed, I am a failure. And sometimes it's that feeling of shame that we bring on ourselves because of the consequences of our own choices. And sometimes it's people that communicate that to us, that cause us to feel like we don't measure up, that cause us to feel like we have no value, that we're insignificant, that we're not worthy of acceptance and love and compassion and kindness. Sometimes it's self-inflicted, and sometimes other people bring that on us, but there's a lot of us that struggle with those feelings of shame, and we talked about how Jesus Christ sets us free from that, that if I'm struggling with this feeling of not measuring up, of being unworthy, of never being accepted, that Jesus came to set us free from that, and he's where we find that freedom, that God never intended for his creation, for us as being made in his image, that he never intended us for us to live a life of shame. And he sent his son to set us free from that. We also talked about last week that even though it is ultimately the blood of Jesus and his grace and his love and his mercy that sets us free from our shame, there's also actions that we have to take. There's things that we have to do in order to accept that freedom and in order to live in it. That there's some changes that we need to make in our lives. That there's some actions that we need to take. That we need to know where the shame has come from. What is the source of that shame? And we need to know what our true identity is, that we're not failures and that we're not complete misfits, that we are valued and loved by our God, that we might need to get some help from other people to help us let go of that shame. And again, what I wanted us to acknowledge this morning is that many of us who have struggled with that burden of shame at some point in the past, or maybe even struggling with it right now, that we might even believe that Jesus can set us free, that we might even accept that to be true and want to experience that, and maybe even have experienced that. We've prayed about it. We've been baptized into Jesus. We have a spirit living in us, and we have given our shame to him so that he can set us free from it. And we believe the truth that Scripture says about us, the things that God says about us and says, this is how I see you. This is the value that I see in you and that I give you. And we believe all that to be true. And yet I think that some of us, even in spite of experiencing freedom from shame and in spite of knowing those truths about Jesus and about how he sees us, that we still struggle with allowing shame to kind of creep back into our lives again. We start believing the lies that we walked away from. We start seeing ourselves the way we used to. And maybe it's because that just feels normal, and I don't know how to think of myself any different. Maybe it's other people that are telling me, no matter what you've done, I know who you really are, and are causing me to feel shame. Whatever the reason, whatever it is, there's so many of us that struggle with going back to what enslaved us. Going back to what imprisoned us in the past. Putting the shackles of shame back on again. And I don't want us to experience that. I don't think God wants us to experience that. So how do we keep from that? How do I keep from allowing those feelings, those thoughts of shame start creeping back into my life again? I want to give you some things that we can do, some actions that we can take to help us with that. And I recognize as I'm talking this morning, as you know, people are watching online, there may be several of us here this morning like, I'm not struggling with that right now. And if you're not struggling with shame or having feelings of going back to feelings, desire to go back to feelings of shame that you had in the past, praise God for that. I'm glad you're set free from that. I don't want that for you. But if that's where you are this morning, if you're struggling with feelings of shame, let me offer you some messages of hope this morning. And I would almost guarantee that there is somebody in your workplace, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in your family that is wrestling, that is struggling to experience the freedom from shame that Christ came to give us. So what can I do? How do I keep from going back to shame? How do I keep from allowing shame to be the master of my heart and my thoughts again? First thing I need to do is probably need to create some boundaries for myself. I need to create some boundaries for myself. If I want to keep from going back and experiencing these feelings of shame again, there's probably some boundaries I need to create. I don't know how many of you have been to a zoo before in your lifetime. I've been to a handful of them. I've been to the Tulsa Zoo. I've been to the Little Rock Zoo. I think there's one other one that I might have been to at some point in my life. And one thing that you notice, and even if you haven't ever been to the zoo, you've probably seen videos of it or something like that. But when you go and see like the big cats, like the lions and the tigers, you know, they're these majestic animals, and they're out in their, you know, man-made habitat looking thing that's supposed to make them feel like they're in the jungle, but they're out there, kind of hanging out and doing their thing, and I'm over here looking at them, and you know what's between us? A big empty space, and maybe, you know, it's like a giant concrete pit that's all around their area between me and them, and maybe it's filled with water, and maybe it's not, but that is designed so that they can't get to me and I can't get to them. There might even be some railing and a fence, and there's some distance. We're going to make sure that lion can't come over here and get me. There is a boundary that is set between me and him. Why? So that I don't get devoured. Plain and simple, right? So that thing doesn't attack me and take over me and eat me up. There is a boundary there. And I share that with you, remind you of that, because I think that's what some of us may need in our lives to help us let go of these feelings of shame and not be conquered by them again. That we need to make some changes in our lives, to change maybe some habits, to take hold of some different actions, recognizing the things that we have done that have caused us to feel those feelings of shame in the first place. Some of us may be struggling with this feeling of being unworthy and being not measuring up because of choices that we made in our finances. We gotten ourselves in a whole bunch of really dumb debt, and we don't feel bad just about the debt itself, but about ourselves. There's some changes that we need to make so we don't experience that again. Some of us experience shame because of our addictions and our habits. And maybe it's an alcohol addiction. And maybe it's a pornography addiction. And maybe it's something else that we just can't seem to let go of. And when we do let go of it, we still have these feelings of shame that want to creep back into our lives. And we got to change those habits. What was it that caused me to feel the shame in the first place? I don't need to go back there again. For some of us, it may be a physical affair. It may be an emotional affair that we have with someone that we're not married to. For some of us, the shame comes from how we treated somebody else. We caused someone else to feel awful about themselves, and now I feel awful about myself, and I feel shame from that. And if I receive forgiveness and grace, you know, through Jesus and have been set free from that, then I don't need to go back and mistreat that person again. There's changes that I might need to make in my actions, my attitudes, so that I don't experience that shame again. There's some boundaries I need to make. Jesus even says sometimes we got to get really drastic, right? In Mark chapter 9, Jesus, in verses 43 to 47, Jesus says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. That's pretty drastic. I don't think that Jesus is calling us to begin lopping off body parts. I don't think that's what he's trying to get across here. I think what Jesus is trying to say here is, whatever it is that's causing the problem, cut that thing out of your life. Cut it out. Be done with it. Set up a boundary so that you're not devoured by it again. And not only that you're not devoured by that particular action, that particular addiction, that particular habit, but you're not devoured by the guilt and the shame that comes with it. Make a drastic change. I may need to cut up some credit cards. I may need to change or walk away from a friendship or a relationship. I may need to put some kind of app or some kind of control on my computer so that I don't go to websites that I don't need to be going to. They're going to cause me to feel shame again. I may need to hand my phone to my spouse when I come home at the end of the day so that I don't go on social media or on websites that I don't need to go to. They're going to cause me to feel feelings of shame again. Get drastic. Set the boundary. And maybe sometimes it's not the action or it's not the choice I'm making. Maybe it's another person that is causing me to feel those feelings of shame. There's a change that needs to take place there. There's a boundary that needs to be set in that relationship. Maybe it's somebody who's been abusive to me in the past, physically abusive to me, or verbally and mentally abusive to me. I may need to change that relationship or walk away from it altogether. Maybe it's somebody who just, they know my past, they know the mistakes I've made, and they keep bringing them up. They keep bringing up the flaws. They keep bringing up all the times that I did what I said I wouldn't do, and they keep reminding me of it. They won't let go of it, and they won't let me go of it either. It may be somebody in my life that just consistently criticizes me and judges me and tells me that I'm not good enough. Maybe actually with their words or just the way that they treat me. Whatever it is, whoever it is, I need to set a boundary between me and that person. That might mean a drastic boundary where I cannot have that person in my life anymore. Or maybe it's just, we're just going to be cordial. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time together. I'm deciding ahead of time that when certain things come up or when certain things are said in our conversations, I'm going to walk away. I mean, Jesus even gave this principle to his disciples. In Mark chapter 6, he's sending his disciples out to go preach and perform miracles and do really good things. And he tells them in Mark 6 and verse 11, if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And the principle that Jesus has given his disciples is, if someone is not treating you well, if someone is not welcoming and accepting you, you have permission to walk away. And I think the same can be said for me in a hurtful, toxic relationship that I'm in. A connection with somebody that consistently criticizes me, consistently causes me to make me feel lesser than. That consistently reminds me that I'm a failure, that I don't measure up, that I'm never going to be accepted, that I'm not really loved. Whatever the message is that they're conveying to me, whether their words or their actions or both, Jesus says, if someone is not accepting you the way that I would, you have permission to walk away. And maybe that's what I need to do. To keep myself from experiencing shame again, I need to create some healthy boundaries. I also need to regularly remind myself of my true identity. And we talked about this a little bit last week, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here today, but just reminding ourselves of who we really are, how God Almighty really sees us, what he sees in us and what he values about us. Because we have value. We are significant. We are loved. We mean something to God. Psalm 139 says that I am a handcrafted creation of God. John 3:16 says that God loves me so much, he thinks I'm worth dying for. He sent his one and only son to the cross for me because he cares about me that much. I mean that much to him. And those are two of the many truths that scripture says about me and about who I am. And if those two things don't do enough for you, look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 9, he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There's several things there that Peter says, this is who you are. This is who I am as a child of God. This is how God sees me. And the one phrase that I want to point out to you this morning is when Peter says, I am God's special possession. Of all the things that God created, of all the things that are under his control, of all the things that belong to God, I'm one of them. And not just one of them, I'm special. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the holder of all things, looks at me and says, that one's mine. And I am so proud. What a blessing. Folks, that's who we really are. That is our true identity. We are handcrafted creations of the King of the universe, and we have been bought and paid for by the precious blood of his Son. And he looks at us, and he doesn't concentrate on our failures, and he doesn't look at us as screw-ups. He looks at us as his special possession. You belong to me, and I am so proud. That's our real identity, and I need to constantly remind myself of that, especially when I'm battling feelings of shame, especially when Satan is trying to pour lies into my head and my heart that tell me I'm not special. I don't mean anything. I don't measure up. And so maybe I make a habit of standing in front of the mirror every morning and looking myself in the eye and saying, you are loved. You are accepted. You mean something. You're important. You're forgiven. Maybe I write those things down. Maybe I journal those things and consistently write them down to remind myself. Maybe I make little post-it notes and just slap them all over the place where I'm constantly reminding myself of my real identity, my true identity, how God truly sees me. Maybe I spend time with other people that can help me do that. Maybe I just spend more time in the Word and discover the different things that God says about me and how he sees me. But if I'm going to keep myself from allowing shame to creep back into my heart again, I need to remind myself over and over again of my real identity, how God really sees me. And then along with that, as I just mentioned, I need to maintain some connections with people that are going to help me remember that, that are going to remind me of my value. If I believe that those promises and those truths are really true, and I'm letting go of my shame, and I'm trying to see myself the way that God sees me, I need to set boundaries in those relationships with people who are adding to my shame. And I need to nurture those relationships with people who are going to help me conquer my shame. I need friends like that. I need relationships like that. And we talked last week about just the blessing that we have as fellow Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to confess things to each other, to be able to be honest and genuine and real with each other and say, this is what I'm struggling with in my life. These are sins that I'm struggling with, or this is the shame and the regret and remorse that I'm wrestling with because of what I've done in the past. I need people like you in my life. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I walk up in front of the whole church and say, here's my whole laundry list of everything that I've ever done in my life. Although if you feel like you need to do that here, you're welcome to do that here. But I at least need somebody in my life that I can be honest and genuine with. And not just that they can even hold me accountable sometimes to choices that I'm making, to actions that I'm taking, but that they can also say when I'm having those feelings of unworthiness, of not measuring up, that person can look me in the eye and say, but you mean something to me, and you mean something to our God, and I want to remind you of that. You are a prized possession of the King, and you mean something to me. You are significant. You are loved. I need somebody like that in my life. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's my spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody in my connection group. But I need to maintain those connections if I'm going to conquer and not return to shame in my life. The author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning verse 24, let's consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's make sure we're paying attention to how we can encourage each other to do good things, to see the good in us so that we can go and do good things for others. Not giving up meeting together some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other. I need encouragement in my life. I need to spend time around other people who are going to encourage me and remind me of my true value, of what I really mean, not just to them, but to my God. And then another thing that I can do to help to keep myself from becoming shackled by shame again is to share my story of freedom. If Christ really has set me free, if I'm not battling shame anymore. If I recognize and I'm living in the freedom that comes from Jesus setting me free from not just my guilt, but my shame, that's a story worth sharing. And I don't mean to stand up and try to brag and try to get people to pat me on the back and tell me how awesome I am because shame has been conquered in my life. I'm talking about recognizing, looking around, opening my eyes and seeing people who are struggling with the same thing that I struggled with. People who are wrestling with shame right now in their life, in their relationships, in their faith, in their walk with God. That they are struggling with those feelings of shame and feelings of self-doubt and feelings of not measuring up. And I know what that feels like. I've been there, but I also know what it's like to be set free. I didn't set myself free. He set me free. And I can share that story with them. Here's what I did. Here's what I experienced. I'm set free from shame. You can be too. Let's talk about that. I need to open my eyes and take that initiative and see who else needs to be set free around me. Who else is walking around shackled in prison and not experiencing the freedom that I have? Paul says again in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, you who live by the Spirit, should restore that person gently. That when I see somebody who is struggling with sin, making choices that they shouldn't be making, when I see someone who is struggling with the guilt of choices that they made and the remorse that they feel, when I see someone who is struggling with despair and frustration because they keep messing up or maybe struggling with hurt that other people have inflicted on them, when I see someone who is imprisoned and enslaved to shame, then I run to the rescue. I help. I speak the truth that God has revealed in my life into theirs. I share my story. And in the process of helping them experience freedom for themselves, that keeps the shame from creeping back into my life. When I share my story of freedom with them, it reminds me of my story. It helps keep the shame out of my heart. Because I'm proclaiming the freedom that I've experienced. I won't guarantee that you won't wrestle with shame. That even if you've been set free from it, even if you experience forgiveness and grace and hope and restoration, that you're not going to ever experience shame and regret and remorse again. But I think we can do better, be stronger in keeping ourselves from being imprisoned by shame again. If we set some boundaries, if we consistently remind ourselves of who we are, what our true identity is, if we maintain relationships with people that will continue to feed us with those truths, and if we'll share our story, I think it'll keep shame from taking hold of our lives again. Our church family, for the last several weeks, at least in our connection groups, we've been walking through the story of, you may call it the lost son or the prodigal son. We've been walking through that story together. And even if you haven't been a part of that study with our connection groups, it may be a story that you're familiar with. And if you're not very familiar with it, it's a story that Jesus tells. It's in Luke chapter 15. And Jesus talks about this young man that is arrogant and thinks that he can call his own shots and be successful in his own life. And he doesn't need his dad, and he doesn't need his dad's help or protection anymore. All he needs is his dad's money. And he demands his inheritance. And he takes the money and he gets as far away from home as he possibly can. He doesn't want those rules. He doesn't want that life anymore. He wants to carve out his own life. And he goes as far away as he can, and he loses all of it. He loses all of his money. He loses all of his friends. He loses all of his pride. He loses all of his safety. He doesn't even have anywhere to live. He can't provide for himself anymore. He's completely empty and completely destitute. And the only thing that he can do is get the lowliest job that he can possibly find, and it's not even enough to meet his needs. And he is sitting in a pig pen wishing that he had it as good as those pigs do. Looking at his life and going, man, they're so much better off than I am. And Jesus, as he's telling the story, shows us two things about this boy. That he has guilt, remorse, and he has shame. Because as he starts thinking about maybe I should go back home and maybe there's a second chance that I can have there, he recognizes, he's talking to himself, and he tries to say the same thing to his father later, where he says, I have sinned. I sinned against heaven, against you. That's guilt. I messed up. I made a mistake. I thought I could do better, and I was wrong. That's guilt. That's remorse. But you know what he says after that? I am no longer worthy to be considered your child. That's shame. I don't measure up. I'm not worthy. I'm not loved. And I feel like I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be loved anyway. So if I can just come back to the house and just be one of your servants, that'll be fine. Do you hear the shame in that? He goes home. And he's ready to confess his guilt. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you, Dad. And he's even willing to confess his shame. I'm not worthy. And while he is trying to spit those words out, his father tackles him with hugs and kisses. And doesn't say, you know what, you're right, you did mess up. And doesn't say, you're exactly right, you are no longer worthy. What does the father say? My son has come home. Get a ring, put it on his finger. Get a robe, put it around his neck. Let's have a party. Let's put him back where he was. Let's restore him to what he used to be. Because in the eyes of the father, that kid was always his son. No matter how much shame and how much he felt less than, his father never saw him that way. And that's the way that our God sees us. No matter what we've done, no matter what choices we've made, no matter where we've been, no matter the things that we said, no matter how many times we did the things we said we'd never do, my God looks at me and says, but you're my child. You're worth it. Now, imagine, as beautiful as that story is, if Jesus had continued with the story and said, and then the young man after the party said, you know what? I don't deserve to be here. I'm going back to the pig pen. Imagine if that young man gotten up the next morning after being restored, after being told by his father, you're loved, you're accepted, you're forgiven, you're right back. You, in my heart, you never left. Your status never dropped. You've always been my child. You've always been my son. And for him to hear that and to experience that and then to go, thanks, but I'm heading back to the pig pen. If that's what the story, how the story went, how would we react to that? Jesus, what kind of story is this that you're telling? No, don't go back. You just got everything back again. You've been restored. You're the child of this father. Everything is fixed. Everything is fine. No, you don't deserve it. No, you can't earn it. But he gave you your status as his child anyway. Stay there. Live in that. What are you doing? And yet there are people in this room. Are there people that we know who, in spite of being forgiven, loved, thought of as significant, valued, we'll go back to the pig pen. Because it's what we're used to. It's what we think we deserve. And it breaks our father's heart. That's what shame can do to us. And if you'll bear with me, this last, just a couple days ago, on Friday, Chris and I were driving on just a quick road trip. Normally, she's playing country music, but on this particular night, she's listening to Christian music. We're singing through some songs together. And she plays a song that I hadn't heard before. Some of you have. Came out about a year ago. It's a song by a guy named Josh Baldwin. It's called Made for More. And I hadn't heard it, but I listened to it. And as we're driving through the car, I'm welling up. And I told Christy, this is what I'm talking about on Sunday. This is the message that I'm trying to get across on Sunday. So I want to share the song with you guys this morning. We're going to play it over the speakers. You're going to see the lyrics on the screen. I encourage you to pay attention to the lyrics. And I'm not saying this is scripture or inspired of God. I am saying that the Spirit uses a lot of different ways to reveal truth to us. And if you've missed everything else that I've tried to say this morning, hopefully this song can connect with your mind and your heart what I believe that God is trying to share with us about finding freedom from our shame. Guys.
Who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start, and now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? Made for more.
I'm not going to live in shame anymore. Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So I'm going to stand firm then. And not allow myself to be burdened by a yoke of slavery. If you're struggling with shame, I truly hate that for you. And I want you to be set free from it. And that freedom comes through Jesus. And if we can help get you connected to Him, we want to do that. So here in just a second, Chris is going to come back up and our praise team is going to lead us in a song. And we're going to stand up together when we sing. And during that moment, if you recognize me, I need help. I want to be set free from the shame, but it's still there and I've tried to be rid of it. I tried to experience that freedom before and I just can't let go of it. Or it keeps finding its way back into my life. You're welcome. You're welcome to come share that with us. And you will be surrounded by people who have or are fighting that same battle. There's no criticism or judgment here. We don't care where the shame comes from. We want it out of your life. So let us help you if we can. But if you don't move from where you're standing while we sing, that's okay. But maybe in your own heart, you start having a conversation with God. God, help me. Help me see myself through your eyes. Help me know the truth that you say about me. Set me free from this shame. And I believe that our God will listen and He'll move to action. But if this church family can help you, we want to. So let us know how. While together we stand and sing.